signs of a devotion or whatever. I think he's got just 2 points, I think. But it's something the Lord laid upon my heart, and hope to be a blessing to you, and just want to try to encourage us, amen, and encourage us to lean on the Lord and just keep doing what's right, and let the Lord be the Lord in our lives, amen. We can't, we are unqualified. It is out of our jurisdiction. We don't have the resources or even the intelligence to fix our problems. That's God's domain. Now, we can cause a whole whop of them, maybe. We can't fix any of them. That's why we need the Lord, amen. And that's why we need to go to him on a daily basis, amen. So, and thank God he's there. Today, I want to talk to you about getting stuck in the mud. Getting stuck in the mud. There was this young man, and he was wanting to do what was right, and he knew somebody that was kind of up in years, and they couldn't get out and do what they used to do anymore. So somebody had already cut the wood down. It was already cut. It was laying out there in the field and stuff. They just had to go put it in the truck and haul it over to them so they'd have some firewood. And he said, well, I can do that. You know, I got a truck. I can go out there. It should be no problem. I don't have a chainsaw and just take everything out of the truck. I'll just fill it full of firewood for them, and I'll just take it on over to their house. Be a blessing to them. So he gets out there, and he's not sure where the place is. He finally finds it and sees the wood out there. And the thing is, it kind of rained a little bit the day before, but he's a young man, and he hadn't really put two and two together yet too well. So he drives on out there and sinks. And he says, wow, what do I do? Here I am on my day off. This isn't even for me. I'm in this guy's field, and I'm stuck, really stuck. Got no tools, took everything out of the truck. He said, well, I'm stuck, can't go anywhere. The wood's sitting right there. I might as well load it up, and when I do get pulled out, I can have the wood pulled out with me, you know what I mean? So he takes him a while. He's a young man. He gets all the wood loaded up in the back of his truck and stuff, and it takes him a while. He got to get it situated and everything, you know, and he gets it up there pretty good. He gets a pretty good-sized load on there, and lo and behold, he says, well, I'm just going to try to see if it'll move at all. He starts it up, and he puts it way down there and low, double low, whatever you want to call it, grandma, and he said, gets it off just real slow, and you know what? All that weight in the back of that truck, he was able to pull out of there. It was covered in mud. I mean, he looked like a mess going down the road. But he got it out of there because all that weight from the wood. Now, he didn't think about it. He remembered the rest of his days, I'm sure, but he wasn't planning on doing that. But that worked out pretty good. And what I want us to think about today, spiritually speaking, is when we're stuck in the mud, we need to do what's right. Just keep on doing what's right. Because, lo and behold, God can get us out of the mud. But if we sit there and stomp and snort and hoop and holler and say, I'm stuck in the mud, I'm stuck in the mud, and I'm stuck in the mud, are you a cheerleader for failure? What are you doing? I mean, come on, you know? You're stuck in the mud, that's true. However, there is a way out. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Spiritually speaking is what I'm talking about. I mean, I'm not stuck out there in the field, need your help or anything like that. But we're just talking about spiritually getting stuck in the mud. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9. You see there, it says, that's our text. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Lord, I just pray that tonight in this time, this devotion time, Lord, that you would just would be here. I pray, Lord, you'd be here in our midst right now and just show up and do through your word and through me, Lord, what needs to be done to be help us to be encouraged and strengthened tonight as a church that is going through the need of a pastor still yet. And Lord, I just pray that you would just minister to us as your people. Help us to be encouraged, to be strengthened. Help us to be put along the right way of thinking things and just view things along your line of thinking, Lord, and just get things right and not to forget to keep doing what we know is right to do. Help us not to be distracted by the things going on around us, but help us to realize that we can get out. God will get us out. It's okay. Thank you, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. In Galatians chapter 6 there, go back there if you would. Verse number 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And then the text there, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Paul gives them a list of stuff here of what to do and what not to do. I mean, it's not an exhaustive list, but it's 8 verses worth of stuff, saying bam, 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 bam. And then he says in verse 9, "Let's not be weary when doing well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." In other words, there's a lot of stuff we've got to do. There's some stuff we should not do, but God has got things lined out for us as his people and as a local church, like here in Galatia as well. God has got it lined out for us, and we just simply need to do what's right. There's never an opportunity or an excuse, I guess you could say, to claim the act of disobedience and get away with it. God knows what we're faced with. Do you understand tonight that God allowed you to face it? God knew it was coming last year. God knows. He's God. And thank God he is. I'm pretty happy about that, actually. But the thing is, he allows things to happen in our lives to help us. Now, there may be some bad things that just flat out devastate us. Cancer, the death of a loved one, the death of a spouse or even a young child. Things happen that are devastating to us, but we're children. God is not. He knows what he's doing, and he's using things to help us depend more on him. God never allows things to happen to hurt us, to break us, to push us away from him. That's not why God does things. He allows things to happen to bring us closer to him. If we do things the right way, we have the choice when things occur to respond correctly or to react incorrectly. Most of the time, matter of fact, every single time, if you're not led of the Spirit of God, we will react. We will jump up and down and say, "I'm stuck in the mud, I'm stuck in the mud," and get mad and kick the truck, and it's not the truck's fault. You're getting mad, jumping up and down, saying, "I'm stuck in the mud," and you're mad, and you're going to let everybody in the whole world know about it. Doesn't help anybody. Just makes you look to be a spectacle. I was going to say another word, but I'm trying to be nice. But it doesn't help anything. But spiritually speaking, how many Christians do that? Something happens, and they stop there, and they jump up and down, and God knows it's there. He allowed it to happen so you would respond correctly. But the thing is, we will not respond unless we're led of the Spirit of God. So, realizing that truth, that principle, every day of our life, we've got to be following the Lord. It doesn't matter if to you it is a red letter, banner, blue ribbon, perfect, just totally awesome, peachy day or not. You've still got to follow the Lord. You've still got to do what's right. You've got to get up. You've got to spend time with God. You've got to get up. You've got to pray and talk to God, spend time in his word. It doesn't matter what else, you've got to do that. If it's time for church, you've got to be in church. If it's time for for Sunday school or services of any kind, you've got to be there. When you're in church, you've got to tithe. You still have got to do what's right. Because God, listen, God is watching all these things, and he holds us accountable. Now, you say, but I've been saved for so many years, and I've done right, you know, all these years, and if I just blow it for a week or two, I deserve that. Well, you're going to find that in Scripture. Not to mention that it's wrong. No, you don't. God is merciful, and there's no way anybody can deny that. It's impossible. If you're alive and you have the right mind within you, you understand that God is merciful. Amen. He is. He's overwhelmingly merciful to us. But we still need to do what's right. And when things come in our way and we realize that God's in charge and he's our Heavenly Father, we've got to do what's right. Look at verse number 1 there in chapter 6. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. God plans it in a church's life that when certain things happen, certain other Christians should be there to do that. Amen. He wouldn't have put it in there. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye, which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. We are the ones that are supposed to be doing that, the spiritual ones. But if there's no spiritual ones, this can't get done. And look what misses out there. You're not being able. The individual can't get restored, and something is missing for the church itself as a body. And we need to understand. And also, he says, if you're spiritual and you restore such a one, do it in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. If you're led of the Spirit of God, this is going to come with it. You're going to understand it's not you, it's God. You're going to understand it's not your wisdom, it's God. You're going to understand it's not your leading, it's not your direction, it's not your opinion. It's I'm just simply doing what God told me to do, brother, sister, whatever. And I'm here to be a help to you. We're going to get through this, you know, and whatever the situation is. Because God is able. That's what it's about. In verse 2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens. And you say, but what about in verse 5? It says every man bear his own burden. Well, I'm glad you asked. That gave me a problem for a while when I was early on in my walk with the Lord. I saw 2 in number 5 there. I was like, well, do they cancel each other out or what's going on? No, they don't. It's 2 different situations here. When you see somebody else under a burden, because we all have them. No, like the old preacher said, all God's children got burdens. Because we do. The thing is, when you see somebody that can't handle theirs, they are going down. I mean, they're dragging. I mean, it is affecting everything. They just need some help. Amen. That's what it's talking about in verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Why does it say that in there? Because that's what Jesus did with you and your sin. You were going down. I was going down, but he bore it for us. It says fulfill the law of Christ. Do it out of love. Not what you can get, but you're doing it because you want to give. What did Jesus get when he saved you? Absolutely nothing. Same with me. But he still took that burden of sin, and he completely paid it. We don't have to do that here, but he completely took care of it. Amen. It's gone. But he didn't get nothing back. He just got a liability. And as we grow in the Lord, that liability, Lord willing, gets smaller and smaller and smaller. But we're always going to be a liability until we get to heaven. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. When you see somebody going down, help them. Especially when the Lord makes it known to you. Maybe you see something or you heard something or you just kind of see some body language and the Holy Spirit, you know, can get your attention. Hopefully he can. And then do something. Talk to him, give him a card, put an arm around his shoulder, whatever needs to be done. sometimes it's necessary. And if we don't do that, it's wrong. Look in verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. It's interesting how he puts that in the middle of this passage, but he does nonetheless. But what I want to focus on is deceiving yourself. You're not fooling anybody else. You're deceiving yourself. Verse 4, let every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Prove his own work. Find out what God wants you to do and trust God to go through it and learn and depend upon God for God to do it through you, and you have a satisfaction that is unmatched. It's unparalleled. It's amazing. It's awesome. And it'll be yours. You're rejoicing what God has done through you. And we rejoice with one another. There's nothing wrong with that, but he's talking about rejoicing in himself. Because listen, when it's just you and the devil's got you cornered, it's just you and you're not thinking about, you know, well, the Lord's here with me. You're so distracted by all the stuff the devil's just bombarding you with. And the Holy Spirit says, hey, remember last week? And you say, oh, yeah, that's right, Lord. And bam, that's what it was supposed to do, to help get you past that. Because sometimes it's just you and the devil's got you cornered and he thinks he's got you surrounded and you think you're surrounded too. But the Holy Spirit gets in there and says, hey, I'm here too. God is still there. Remember what happened, how God used you and what happened last week? Amen. That's what it's talking about here. Depend upon God and let God use you and be amazed with what he can do at the time. Yes, amen. Praise the Lord for that. But then remember back and say, praise the Lord. That's my God. Yes, devil, you may be right. I did blow it here and everything else. But you're a liar. God's my heavenly Father, and he's going to get me through this. I'm going to trust him. I'm not going to believe you. That's what it's talking about there. Because listen, Paul himself faced this battle with his flesh and with his spirit, wanting to do what's right and not do what's wrong. He had to battle back and forth, Romans 7, Romans 8 talks about it in there. It's a constant battle that Paul faced every day. We have it too. It's going to be there until God delivers us from the body of this flesh. So every day, just expect it. Amen? Just expect it. And when it happens, don't take offense to it. Do what's right. Amen? Do what's right. The Christian life lived correctly is not easy. Actually, nothing done correctly all the time is easy. Nothing is. I mean, you're going to slip up, you're going to make a mistake. I mean, doesn't matter what it is. I mean, even holding the fork the correct way. I mean, early on, you're going to trip, you're going to slip, you're going to make a mistake. I mean, you got to work at it. It takes work. I mean, everything done correctly all the time, it's not easy. It doesn't just happen. And we need just to depend upon the Lord. And then verse number 5, every man shall bear his own burden. We are accountable for what God brings into our lives. We can get through. God will allow things in our lives. If we depend upon him, we can get through. We don't have to, every time something happens, we don't have to stop and throw up a red flag and say, oh, or like I saw this movie about ants. And you know how if you ever played with ants when you were a kid and you saw the little trail of ants, all you do is take your finger and just run it through the dirt like this and make a little line, and the ants just stop there. They don't know what to do. It's like, it's. I guess you feel like you're God or something when you're a little kid. Look what I just did. I destroyed everything. You know? But this movie made a big joke about it. They're walking down, the ants and everything, and this twig stopped across the, fell across the path, and the ant goes, it's a twig! It's a twig! And then one ant goes, oh, remember the leaf from 87? You know, and also this stuff, you know, like some horrible thing just happened. They don't know what to do. The twig is on their path. Listen, God allows things in our lives to draw them to him. Sure, they're going to happen. Again, expect it. But when they do, just stop and say, what is it, Lord, that I've got to learn? Because God doesn't waste anything. He doesn't waste anything at all. And the individual that is the creator of all matter that exists in the universe, he doesn't waste anything anywhere. So if something happens in our lives, it's there for our benefit. And as we follow the Lord and we depend upon Him and we have that communication with the Spirit of God like we should throughout the day, on a daily basis, we can get through no matter what happens to us. We can, if we depend upon the Lord. I mean, could you just imagine, going through some of the stuff that you've gone through in your life, it'd be kind of hard to understand, because I really can't even think about living without being saved. I've been saved for so long, and it's like I can't imagine being alive without being married. I've been married so long. It just, that's the way it is. But you try to imagine going through one of these things without God, without a church family, without the Bible, without the avenue of prayer. Just try to imagine trying to go through one of those storms. And you realize why the world's doing what they're doing out there. Because that's what they're going through every day. And that's all they know. Again, I don't want to do the same message from last time, but we need to let our light shine so they can see a difference. But anyway, every man bear his own burden. We are expected to do what to handle what God gives us and trust Him to go through it. God allows us to progress in our Christian walk by giving different things to us in our lives. And if we obey and follow Him, things will work out good. If we don't, then we'll just go through that lesson again and again and again and again. I mean, there are Christians, let's just take, I don't know why, but the thing about tithing. You talk to Christians and they say, well, it took me 20 years before I would tithe. Why? I just didn't think I could get, give God that much money. Well, you didn't think. That was the problem. But the thing is, God, we're His children, and He's going to bring us to a point until He's satisfied. We're not here to be like performing pets or anything where we're going to impress God, okay, I did this for you, now can I progress to the next level? I've done this trick, and I'm so much better than they are over there. And God sees in our heart. He sees what motivates us. And He says, no, you still got work to do. You're going to stay right there until you learn a lesson that I want you to learn. And that's our lot. He is in charge. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. That's good advice. I mean, when you're taught in the word, compute in him that teacheth. Who teacheth in all things? God does. Talk to the Holy Spirit of God. He wrote the book. When you learn something, whether it's in a Sunday school lesson or in your own devotions, or sometimes you'll sing a hymn and you can learn doctrine from a hymn, and you just say, praise the Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit, for that. Help me to be able to see and understand that, or in a message or whatever it is. Communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. That's why we have an altar call. Because of that right there. You say, I thought an altar call was to get people saved. Well, they can do that. But what they're doing is they're communicating with somebody that taught them something, isn't it? It still applies. In verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. We all know that principle, amen. He's in charge, flat out. But in verse 9, let's go back to that. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Just like the young man who was out there by himself, seemingly by himself, he, credit to him, he didn't waste this whole day jumping up and down in the mud. He said, well, I'm stuck here, I can't move, I might as well just load it up and take care of what I need to take care of. And as he did that, he allowed himself to be out of the mess he was in. And if he was still jumping up and down, he'd still be there now. But he was able to get out. Why? Because he continued to do what was right. In our spiritual lives, God is watching us how we respond to stuff. When somebody in our family takes ill, God's watching what you do. If something happens at home and the washing machine explodes, and God's watching what you do. Amen. Somebody cuts you off in traffic, the Holy Spirit's sitting there saying, mm-hmm. It's not what I would have done. God is concerned about us on the inside. We're concerned about what's out here, because that's what we can see. We can't see inside when we look in the mirror and, you know, put our faces on and everything else. We just see what's out here. Everybody in the world's concerned about what's out here, but God's concerned what's going on in here. And because that's where the motivation for what we do comes from, inside. In verse 8, he says, "He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Understand this on verse number 8 here. This is talking to Christians, because an unsaved person has no spirit to sow to. They're spiritually dead. So this is us he's talking to here. And we do sow to the flesh all the time. All the time. But we need to realize there's going to come a reckoning. And sometimes people say, well, I know I shouldn't have done that, and I know God's merciful, and they sow all that stuff to the flesh, and then they come to the altar and they pray for a crop failure, and not necessarily going to happen. Not necessarily going to happen. God is not mocked. He's not going to make him into a joke. It's not going to work. He's in charge. We got to do what's right. We've got to do what's right. If you go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 3, look at the second point there. Hebrews in the book of James, 1st and 2nd Peter. Hebrews 12, verse 3. Look at that verse real quick here. Because sometimes this happens a lot more than the other thing does, perhaps. But Hebrews 12, 3. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." The devil can wear us out before we ever get out of bed. He can. He can put stuff in your mind and keep you tossing and turning all night long. You're fretting about this. You're worried about this. How's this going to happen? I can't believe this is going to happen over here. This thing, I just saw this over here. It's all wet in the corner in the building. And you just think about stuff over and over and over again. There's no peace there at all. It's just turmoil, topsy-turvy, and the devil's got you totally defeated, and you're not even out of bed yet. Amen. He is a spiritual being. He knows who's saved and who's not. He knows who to mess with. He knows who God can use that day to get Joe down there at the gas station saved. He knows who God can use to get Susie over there. No offense, Susie, but there's a lot of other Susies over here at the donut place to get encouraged because of a loss of a loved one in her family. Devil knows who God can use, and he knows who to mess with. When stuff happens to you, realize we got to do what's right all the time. All the time. We've got to do what's right. And listen, don't just jump up and down in the mud and say, "I'm stuck in the mud." You know, like I said, are you a cheerleader for failure? I mean, come on. You're sure you're stuck in the mud, but you're going to get out, or you're going to live there. A lot of Christians are living in the field, jumping up and down in the mud and hooping, hollering about it, trying to make the biggest sign they can. "I'm stuck in the mud." 10 years later, "I still got the sign." You know, what good is that? Do what's right. God didn't leave that person. They just are stuck in the mud. They won't move. God says, keep on doing what's right. In California, when before we came out to Virginia, it was actually right around the same time that kids came out here to Kentucky. But we ran into some hard times. Gas was so bad, the expense of gasoline, that I had to quit the job because my pay went three times the amount of my pay had to go to pay for fuel. It was over $5 a gallon in California this time. So we had to quit the job that me and Connie had, which was the biggest paper route they had in the city, and it took us 8 hours to deliver it, using two vehicles on Sunday. And I had to quit the job. It was good money, but not when you're paying that much for gas. So I had to try to find a job. And I was all over the place, going to Sacramento, trying to find a job, and this, that, and the other thing. And things just got really bad. And we were late on rent a couple months and stuff. It was pretty bad. And then Connie's mom helped us out, and she said, why don't you guys just come out, move to Virginia? I said, sure, okay. And she sent us a check. We had a U-Haul truck, and we went out there. And then about that time, the kids were coming to Kentucky. Connie says, I'm going to go to Kentucky with the kids. I said, sure, go ahead and go. And we did that. And we lived in Virginia for 2 years. We lived in her mom's house in a bedroom that she grew up in as a kid. Me and Connie lived in that room for 2 years. And God was watching to see what we would do. We still did what was right. We found the church that I got saved in. We started going to church again. Connie was teaching Master's Life on Wednesday nights or whatever. We went to Sunday school. We went to nursing home ministries. I started an additional nursing home ministry there while we were there at one just down the road. And we kept doing what was right. We kept doing what was right. I was making, you know, a pittance working at Fort Lee at the PX there. I was making like $7 an hour, working 40 hours a week. But I kept doing what was right, and God got us through. But he was watching to see what we'd do. And he's watching us now today still. He's watching his church. He's watching all of us. He's watching his children. He's our Heavenly Father. That's what he does. He watches his kids. And we got to do what's right. Amen. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. If you want to spend some time talking to the Lord, I'm going to wait about 5 minutes to have some time of prayer up here myself. And then I'm just going to talk to you guys about something, okay, as a church body. Lord, we thank you for this time, and help us just have the Holy Spirit just talk to us in our hearts and right now, Lord, as you spoke to us in the message and the devotion, Lord, and help us just to mull that over spiritually and talk to you and kind of deal with some things, Lord, that you bring up to our minds, and help us just to do what's right, Lord, and realize we're your children. We're not just on our own, not all alone. We're your children. You're in charge, and you love us so very much, Lord, and you're so very patient with us, but you are watching to see what we're going to do. Help us to do what's right, Lord. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go and have a time of prayer now. You can pray in your pew. You can come here if you want to forward pray. We'll do about 5 minutes and have a time of prayer.